All right. The Christian's need for sanctification. Brother Charlie and I have a little joke. My titles are always so long, he struggles to get the title on the board out front. And so when I finally came up with this title, I just gave him sanctification. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made this title. So I keep him busy trying to get my titles on the board. Brother Charlie, I appreciate that. Anyway, the Christian's need for sanctification. In John 17, verse 17, the Lord said, Father, sanctify them by your truth, because your word is truth. So Jesus introduces the word sanctify, or sanctification, for us. What are we talking about? Well, when one obeys the gospel, when one becomes a Christian, they experience what is called in the scriptures regeneration. Regeneration. Let me give you a passage, Titus 3 and verse 5. He saved us not by works of righteousness we had done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration, there's our word, and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now, most of your biblical scholars will admit that this refers to water baptism, even though they may not teach it in their particular religious affiliation, but they do admit, as they should, that this has reference to water baptism. Regeneration literally means to be given new life, to be spiritually reborn or converted. Now, when we're baptized, we enter into Christ. We enter into a relationship with him, Galatians 3:27. And when we rise from the water grave of baptism, we are raised to walk in newness of life. That's this regeneration that takes place in the person's heart and life. Jesus calls this the new birth, being born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom. All the same subject. So, when we talk about regeneration, we have to realize that there's a real need for sanctification. The sins committed before we become a Christian causes two major problems for the individual. The first is that we are separated from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin causes us, God is holy, truly, together, no sin involved at all. Pure holiness. So when we sin, that automatically separates us from God. In Romans 3:23, Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody escapes that, because everybody does sin. Not because we're born in sin, that doesn't happen. We commit sin by way of choice. And as we become responsible for our actions, that causes a separation from God. Romans 5:10, Paul even said, we're enemies of God because of our sins and our transgressions. And that's a problem. That has to be taken care of. That was done through this process of regeneration, becoming a Christian, obeying the gospel, whatever you choose to call it. It is the new birth, and it brings peace with God. Our sins are remitted, taken away, and we now have peace. We're no longer the enemies of God. We're no longer separated from God. And we have new life. We are a newborn creature. John 3:3-5. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Man being Christ is a new creature. And we, of course, have sonship. We're now in the family of God through the process of regeneration, becoming a new creature. But there's a second problem that our sins cause us, and that is the fact that we have a tendency, because of being a sinner, to commit the same sins. In other words, they often are sins of habit. That's the nature of sin. And having such a need, we have to get rid of the tendencies to do those things we did before becoming a Christian. And that's where sanctification is necessary. It is the answer for that second problem that our sins have caused us. We need to understand that. Sanctification is the is translated from the Greek word that means holiness, a separation. We're separated from our sins through regeneration, and we're brought together with God in our relationship with Him. The word sanctification is actually used in three different ways in the Scriptures. It refers to being separated from the world of sin and darkness. That's what happens when you're regenerated, when you're born anew. You are taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That is one form of sanctification. You're set apart. You're now holy where you were not before. The other word, or the same word used in a different way, has to do with spiritual growth. Here's a good passage. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That's simply growing spiritually. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is a process of sanctification. We've been set apart from the world, sanctified in that sense, but now as a Christian, day by day, we are to be sanctified. We're to experience sanctification, being set apart, getting rid of those tendencies we developed before we became a Christian. And then there's a third sense, and this is what happens at the day of judgment. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. You're not sanctified completely as long as you live in this world. You're in the process of being sanctified. And at the coming of Christ, then he sanctifies us and we are completely separated forever from sin. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. All right. So the term is used in three different ways in the Scriptures. This morning, we're going to talk about the second use of the word sanctification. Sanctification requires a decisive break from sin, a decisive break. You cannot have a partial change or separation and let you straddle the fence between Satan and God. It won't work. You can't hold on to the hand of Satan as you travel the world of sanctification in Christ Jesus. It's got to be a complete break, beloved, a decisive break. It's a break that you cause in your mind to no longer follow the path of wickedness, because you're going to follow the path of God. So it is turning from the world and embracing, therefore, the new life in Christ. You ought to embrace it with all of your heart because of all that Christianity means to an individual. But also, to accomplish this, God's going to help us. You're not left alone in this matter of spiritual growth and sanctification. And I am sure of this, Paul said, that he who began a good work, that's the regeneration, and you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to help you. You don't have to think, man, I got to do this all on my own. I'm just not able to meet the temptations the way I would like to meet. I need help. Well, you have help. God's going to help you. And we'll talk about that process later in our study. So, sin is the ultimate cause of pain and suffering in this world. I want you to understand that. Not God, but sin is the cause of all of the pain and suffering. It cannot be served. It must be conquered. We cannot ultimately survive separation from God. Can't do it. Pleasures of sin are sweet, beloved, but the consequences are grievous. Jesus said, when you commit sin, you become the slave of sin. The reason you're a slave, you can't get out of the consequences of your sin, which is separation from God. You have to have help. That's the reason for regeneration. But that process has to continue as a Christian, as a child of God. What does sin do to you? Well, it puts you into slavery. John 8, 34, that's where Jesus said, if you sin, you're a slave of sin. You don't want to be a slave of sin. No one should want that. It is an offense to God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, you're separated from God. Number three, God is life, and so without him, you're simply dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you're dead in your sins and in your transgressions. See all the things that sin does to you? And then finally, sin will cause your damnation. That's right. Lost eternally. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, beloved. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in flaming or blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his body. That's what sin will cause. That's what sin will do to you unless you make that break from sin. So, sanctification involves our cooperation with God. It's not you alone. It's not God alone. It's a matter of you cooperating with God. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So sanctification has a connection with the truth of God. Now look at Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you. Notice that. What are you to do? Work out your own salvation. That's your part, and you have help from God to do that, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose in your life. So as you travel this road of sanctification, you're holding on to the hand of the Lord. And the Lord's going to work with you. He's going to help you to do his will so that you do not experience the consequences of sin. Therefore, laying aside all malice. Now look at that expression, lay aside. These are Christians to whom Peter is talking. And he's telling them, lay aside. That's something you've got to do. It's actually a mental picture in the Greek where you come in dirty, filthy, working all day, and you want to get cleaned up. So what do you do first of all? You strip off the old dirty clothes, jump in the shower. He's telling Christians, lay those things aside, those tendencies. Get rid of those in your life. All malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speak, all things that are of the devil need to strip off. You won't do it all at once. It's a growth process. And newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Notice there is that truth again coming into the picture. You must desire God's word as a newborn babe. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, well, you've tasted that through your regeneration process, you see. Now, here's a warning and encouragement from God's holy word. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12, 14. You're not going to experience regeneration and go back to your old way of life and get to heaven. Without sanctification, you will not see the Lord. So spiritual growth is essential. It's a process that you're involved in as you cling to the Lord and he works with you and in you to accomplish what he desires for you. We'll find out more what he wants in our study. Sanctification, then, is the process that involves a continuing transformation of our inward character, our mental attitudes, and our outward behavior. All three. Inward character, mental attitudes, and outward behavior. You cannot live like the devil and be right with God or go to heaven when you die. I don't care what teaching you hear about the fact that once saved, always saved. It is not true. These changes must take place in your life. If you're not serious about Christianity, you're not going to grow. You're not going to go through the process of sanctification. If you're serious, you will. You'll understand your inward character, the way you think about things, your mental attitudes, all of those things, and of course the outward character. May the God of peace himself sanctify you. Notice, God comes into the picture, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Another passage says, when our spirits are made perfect. That's the third use of the word sanctification. All right. What is sanctification? It is striving to be like Christ. That's God's purpose for us, beloved, to be like Christ. Ultimate purpose is to transform us. And that's where the Spirit comes in connection with God's Word. But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. Now watch it, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Now look at Romans 8, 28 through 30 with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You want to know what the sanctification process is all about? It's becoming like Jesus. What did Paul say? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So it's a matter of becoming like the Lord. It was A.J. Gossip, I believe, who made the statement that Christ came into the world to create a race of little Christ. We'll never be perfect like our Savior until Judgment Day. But we are striving to be like him. That's what the sanctification process is all about. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified, sanctified eternally. I want you to look at a few passages with me now about this matter of sanctification. I want you to understand, beloved, it is you working with the Lord to accomplish what he commands. Christians are exhorted to be holy. You'll never be holy as God without sin until the day of judgment. But you're to become like God. You're to strive by taking upon yourself the qualities of God that are moral in nature to be perfect. The word perfect here doesn't mean sinless. You're not going to be sinless in this life, but maturity, growing up, being a mature individual. And when you stumble, you correct it immediately. You don't let any time waste because you do not want to be separated from God. Grow in grace. That's a responsibility. Yours, mine, every Christian, grow in grace. And we must work out our own salvation. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Notice that. We can keep sin from reigning, from controlling us, by being involved in the sanctification process. Abstain from every form of evil. Don't play footsie with the things of this life that are contrary to God's word. John says, love not the world, neither the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of... Stay away from those things. Don't get involved with them. Love not the world. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be imitators of God. Glorify God in your body. These are all passages from God's word. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness. Learn to put God first in your heart. Let me tell you something about that. I'm going to talk about that at the end of the lesson. But you can put God first in your life if you learn to love him. If you learn to love him. I'll let that register with you until we get to that point. God does not leave us alone in the process. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. How many times does a Christian say after they've done something foolish, I just can't live the Christian life. I just can't do it. There's no reason for me to continue any further. And so they go back to the world. That's not true. You can live the Christian life. And what does he say? God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think. Think about it. Beyond what you can even think, God can do for you. God will do it to help you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows whether or not you want to go to heaven. He understands your desire. So work with him and he'll work with you even beyond what you can imagine. I pray that out of his glorious riches, think about that, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. What does he do? He uses the Holy Spirit to help us to grow, to be sanctified. How do we know we're being strengthened by the Spirit? I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. Well, you should see something in your own life, because you know the Spirit is working in you when you adopt the fruit of the Spirit. What are they? Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you a loving person? It is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you are adopting the fruit of the Spirit is working in you. Not everyone that is regenerated continues in the Christian life. What happened? They didn't allow the Spirit to work in their heart. This is how we're being led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14, the Spirit leads us through the process of sanctification. Now you can spurn or ignore the power of the Spirit, and when you do that, you're grieving the Spirit. He becomes disappointed. He's in sorrow because you're not living the life you ought to live and the life that you can live in him. Ephesians 4:30. But how does the Holy Spirit work in us? How do we know? We've seen the fruit, but how does he actually accomplish those things? How does he make us a person of love and joy and gentleness and kindness and all of those other fruits? He works in us through God's word. Now, let me tell you something. You can take two people. One is an atheist and one is a Christian. They can read the same Bible, same translation even. The atheist gets up and opposes Christianity. The Christian gets up and serves the Lord. And what's the difference? The Christian has the open heart. The Christian has the honest heart. The Christian wants to serve the Lord. The atheist doesn't. He wants to find everything possible to criticize. Reading the same book, it's not simply the printed page. It is God's Spirit working through God's word to touch our hearts, to endear us to God, and help us to walk in sanctification. When he comes, he will prove the world. This is why he was sent into the world. He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit was sent into this world to reveal the mind of God to those who pen the scriptures and to use that as his tool in order to touch the hearts and to change the lives, beloved. All of those led by God's Spirit are God's children. You're led by the Spirit as you obey what the Spirit instructs you to do. He bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8:16. He intercedes for the children of God. The Spirit does so much. And if you're ignorant of what the Spirit does, then you may not have him working in you. But he will work through the divine word of God. Now look at this passage. All scripture, that's your Bible, is God-breathed. And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why the Bible was given. So the Spirit can work through the Word of God. As you read, study, meditate, and have a desire to obey, the Spirit helps you to grow in the process of sanctification. So, to be helped by the Spirit, we must take certain steps. Let me suggest a few of them to you. Information. You've got to begin with knowledge. You have to know from Scripture what constitutes sin and what doesn't. That's why you need to study the Scriptures. The Scriptures will identify what's right and what's wrong. You need to be aware that the Spirit is in you and that He is the power God has given to help you grow through sanctification. Prayer. Do you ever pray for the Spirit to work in you? Do you ever think about the Spirit when you're talking to the Father? Your prayers ought to be addressed to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit works. He's real. He's God, just like the Father and the Son. You ought to pray for His aid and help. Develop the desire. What is really your desire? Is it just to have a great, wonderful home? Have a fine automobile? Have the best of jobs? To travel the world? What is your desire? Your basic desire, first and foremost, ought to be to go to heaven. You're not going to be here forever. This world's going to end, as far as you're concerned, when you die. Then, as the parable of the rich farmer, who's going to have all of this that you've accumulated? It's not going with you. You can't take it with you. Think about it. Step number 5, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Think about the Spirit. Think about His work, His word. Meditate on those things. Develop trust. Learn to trust the Spirit. God is right in every situation. Take His will. Follow His instructions through the Spirit. Take action to exercise your will to do what's right. You have to make that choice. Everybody does. You can't make it for your wife. You can't make it for your husband. You can't make it for your parents. You can't make it for your grandparents. You can't make it for your children. You have to make the desire. I've often said, when I pass away, I want my children forced to say, Daddy walked with God. And in spite of what they may do, I want to go to heaven. And I don't intend to lose my soul because of my children, because of my brethren in Christ that go astray, or for anyone else. I want to live in heaven. I want to live with God. And I'm going to take the action. Be filled with thanksgiving. Throughout the scriptures, we're taught to be people who are gracious and thankful for all of God's wonderful blessings. And we should be. All right. What is the greatest motive for sanctification? Now, there are a lot of motives. I want my sins forgiven. I want to go to heaven. Those are great motivating factors to me. I want to be associated with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you guys. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be one with you. I want to love you. I want you to love me. I want that. That's a motivating factor to me in living the Christian life. I've been sober. I get calls from all over the country. I don't know how many I've had this past week. Just check it on me. Sin, I guess if I'm still alive, still here. But how grateful I am for every one of those calls. From the East Coast to the West Coast, I get calls. I'm grateful. But what is the greatest possible motive for sanctification? Here it is. Not having your sins forgiven, not even about going to heaven. It's about loving God. It's about loving God. That's what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Mark adds to this with all your strength. That's the totality of your being. I'm going to tell you something. If you love the Lord, the other things won't be a problem. The other things won't be a problem for you. Oh, man, I love Sweetie. I can't tell you how much I miss her. I didn't care whether I was away in one meeting or six meetings in a row. When the last amen was said, I was in my car, on the bus, on train, or the midnight special to get home. Because I loved her. I didn't want to be apart from her. It's not any different with God. Do you really think about how much you love God? Think about the fact He created you. He put you in a wonderful, wonderful universe. He sent His Son to die for you. He wants you to be a child in His family. He wants you to be at home with Him in heaven. Why wouldn't you want to love Him with the totality of your being? The word for love here, it's a verb, is agapeo. And the Greek word agapeo means to totally give ourselves to someone. Totally. Not partially. Totally. Are you reserving part of yourself for something else, or do you give yourself totally to the Lord? Just as you love your spouse and give yourself to your spouse, you ought to love the Lord the same way. That's the greatest motive for sanctification. Agapeo is not just an emotional feeling. A total commitment of our wills and our lives to God. That's what it means. We love because He first loved us. That's why you love the Lord. He loved you before you even became a Christian. Even before your regeneration. Before your sanctification. God loved you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why the commandments are not grievous, as John said. Because you love God. And you care about God. And you want to please God. The love of God begins with the knowledge of Him. Jesus said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. You got to know about Him, beloved. First, loving God requires that you learn about the Father. And that's what you do in the study of God's Word. Jeremiah said this, or God through Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, do not let the wise boast in their wisdom. Do not let the mighty boast in their might. Do not let the wealthy boast in their wealth. But let those who boast, boast in this, that they may understand and know me, that I am the Lord. I act with steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Find out everything you can about God. Realize the Bible is God's love letter. That's exactly what it is. It's a love letter to you personally. When you read the Bible, you need to see your name in there. God is writing to you personally. What better way to learn about the Creator than to immerse ourselves, beloved, in His holy and divine will, His Word. But it's for you, continuing what you've learned, Paul wrote to Timothy, and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. There it is again. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God possesses, beloved, the eternal quality of love. He is love. He's what love is all about. There's where you need to be, at the feet of God, to learn about love. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And if you don't live in love, you don't know God and you don't live in God. I don't care who you are. It is a necessary quality that you must have to love God. For God so loved the world. Father, how much did you love the world? I loved it so much I sent my only begotten Son to die for you. Let me tell you what else shows the love of God. God displayed Him publicly. He didn't do this in a corner. He didn't do it behind some high fence. He let his son be crucified where all the world could see. That's a demonstration of love. That's how much he loved us. Love God is to desire him. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my heart pants for you, O God, the psalmist said. And I want to close with this. Why? The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. You can't separate sanctification from God's word, because God's word is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to sanctify you. And you're alive now. Those of you who have been regenerated are Christians, and you're to be involved in the process of sanctification. You know what is first in your heart and in your mind, and God knows also. You don't hide anything from him. Are you being sanctified daily? Are you involved in that process, working with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to be sanctified, to be set apart from this world and all of its sorrows and sins, degradation and ruin? Are you? You can answer that question. You know your life and what you need to do. And it's my prayer that for every day that you live, that you are involved in the process of sanctification with God, who will work with you to set you apart from the things of this life, to grow spiritually, to become more like Jesus every day. You're here subject to God's holy and divine invitation. Will you not think seriously? Will you not come? In simple trust and obedience, while together we stand and sing.